Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast of book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today's episode? episode is our indie authors episode. So roughly once a quarter, sometimes more frequently, should we find more books, we do an episode that features independently published authors. So these are ones that do it themselves through KU, through small publishing houses, that kind of thing. So it's indie publishing. We do a quarterly kind of thing of upcoming traditional published books, so you can find that if that's more your thing, but we just do this once a quarter to shine a spotlight on indies. We love doing these episodes.
Yeah, usually there's loads of releases around September, but I couldn't find much. I tell you what, I'm either so far out of the loop that I have no clue what's going on anymore, or a lot of indie authors are moving away from like TikTok and stuff. I don't know.
A lot of this I found on threads. So I saw a post on TikTok, and this is traditionally published, but she was saying like we used to have what they, in the publishing industry, they called the Big Thursday, and it was like roughly September 10th. And that was when all the books for like Halloween, Christmas, like all those kind of things, like the peak buying season, would get released to some kind of like Big Thursday.
Yeah, like September was always a big
But apparently,
time.
Then some publishing houses clocked onto that, and then they started having random other ones. So like an early drop or a late drop in October, August.
So now they've just stopped doing it.
So now the system is completely... And I don't know.
Everything's just up in the air now.
So I don't know if indies have followed that trend too and are doing different drops.
Just doing it when they want or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it's a small selection, and not all of these even have their publication dates on them on Storygraph. Like there was a couple as well that I would have loved to include, but they weren't on Storygraph, which is where I log them.
Yeah.
And they weren't even on Amazon yet for me to be able to save them there, presumably because of a pre-order thing or whatever. But yeah, I couldn't come with like five different platforms open to try and talk about these.
Yeah.
So I do just have to, yeah, I do
stick
just
to what
stick
we got, yeah.
to Storygraph now. I used to do it on Amazon, now I do it on Storygraph.
So if you are an indie author or know of them or any book groups online with them, on our website, lazybookloverspodcast.wordpress.com, there is a form. It's literally called Indie Author Submission. You could submit with the book so that we can start adding them to these lists.
Yeah, because it'd be great, because technically this will be my last one of the year.
Yeah.
Because this should be October, November, December releases. But it'd be great if I could do another one.
Yeah, because we do them more frequently if we get more.
Yeah, yeah. When we first started, we used to do these almost monthly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what's happening. As I said, it could just be that I'm so out of the loop. Maybe loads of algorithm changes have happened, and because I rarely go on TikTok now, it doesn't know what to feed me.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely something's changed, because I'm seeing people on my For You page that disappeared.
Oh my God, I went on the other day, and literally someone that I forgot I even followed, it came up with like six of their videos in a row, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, do you remember there was Ismay and her blonde girlfriend, the Scottish... But she's American.
Yeah, I know.
All over my For You page back in the day disappeared.
Yeah.
And I kind of like forgot about them.
Yeah.
And then she popped back up and I was like, oh my God, I used to love their videos. And they've gone.
It's crazy. I must admit, I don't spend as much time on TikTok now. I mostly spend time on Instagram and Threads. So
make
that what you will.
I probably at best don't. I probably get some days half an hour time to sort of use it to kill time.
Yeah. I think it's because I'm doing daily posts on Instagram as well. I just don't really bother anywhere else.
Concentrating on you.
Okay, anyway, so I've got six books today to talk about. Yeah, some of them I'm on book tours for, and the rest are just on my radar. So these are actually six books that I want to read. Often I try and mix in some other ones, but no, this is literally just books that I want to read.
Why not?
Yeah, and a lot of them I can't give you the exact publication date. Some of them were August and September. It's just, it is what it is this month. Okay, so the first one is Anarchist Underground, and this is an epic fantasy political intrigue book by Nicole Rowles, something like that, sorry. If you this is your first indie episode or even traditional published episode, I cannot read names of any origin, especially fantasy names, so.
We just do our best. I make fun of her.
Yeah. So, King say... Oh, and also, this doesn't say it's going to be a series, like start of a series, which is quite rare for fantasy books. So
standalone.
It's also got romance tagged. So...
Nice.
We like it.
A few buzzwords that we enjoy.
King Saban of Dunwin is dead. They say his son, Bryn, is the one who killed him. They say Prince Bryn is an anarchist. Commander Elia Rin is a hero of a war that she wishes had never ended. She no longer recognises the country she gave up everything for. Driven into exile, she discovers a man with blood on his hands. Across Dunwin's border, Neil is stirring, on the cusp of reigniting 2 centuries of hostility between enemy nations. But the rules of the game are changing. If Ela wants to bring Dunwin back from the brink of destruction, she'll have to overcome the trusting of a person whose treachery has destroyed everything she loves. That's a lot of words, but fantasy, political fantasy usually does have a lot of words.
I quite like a bit of like political fantasy.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a self-confessed romanticy girl.
Yeah.
I quite like a bit of
intrigue. It when people can mix the two well. It doesn't often happen.
Yeah, I was watching a video about balancing romance with fantasy and how much plot is right, and they were like, I don't think there's like a formula. It's got to be what makes sense for your plot.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna do like high stakes, like big plot, your romance has to fit in it. Like, naturally, not just be
that's,
kind of...
Well, that's where the difference between romanticy and fantasy romance comes in. And unfortunately, it's kind of been dumbed down into just one bracket, which is why I think some people can be quite critical of books that aren't as romantic as they want.
I think an excellent example of this is always going to be Cruel Prince.
Cruel Prince, yeah. I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
Excellent example of this, that everyone characterises a romance. And then you see people's reviews where they're like, this is just a girl, like, fighting people. And then sometimes there's a boy. Yeah. Like, exactly. Like, yes.
Yeah.
You found the point. Well done.
Yeah. This discussion about, like, TikTok dumbing down literature obviously is completely incorrect. But I do think there are some circumstances where perhaps the wording has been dumbed down and misrepresented.
I think people are trying to... marketing. It has now become easier to market your book if you can characterise it with tropes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a publisher thing as well.
Yeah, well, it's marketing, yeah.
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 You know, and tropes, unfortunately, it has become the thing that people need to use to get their book picked up and seen by readers.
Also, as a reader, when looking for books, fantasy, what does that even mean? Am I reading Brandon Sanderson or fucking Sarah J Maas?
Well, fantasy is a very large
too broader, and this is fantasy that's largely guilty of this, maybe romance too. No one's talking about thrillers that are slow burn romances, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like morally grey, like a love interest in a thriller. No, he's probably a serial killer. Like,
yeah.
I
think that would just fall under like dark romance.
And again, romance is such a broad genre too.
Yeah, the only thing that makes a book romance is happily ever after.
Yeah, so like I think tropes are almost becoming like a kind of subgenre to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to look for recommendations, I am going by tropes now.
Yeah.
Because, again, fantasy is such a broad spectrum. And if I read the back of Cruel Prince, I'm not going to, you know where it falls on that spectrum, even just by the blurb.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think it serves a purpose. And again, but people just need to, things like reach a peak and then they calm down.
Yeah.
People just need to chill
out. Yeah, I think just...
And let people enjoy themselves.
If you're looking for tropes on social media, just maybe confirm it with a couple of other profiles. Because some people just are out there literally, like, spouting absolute drug-fueled crap.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Like, they've tried to make a video for clout and they've shoehorned some books into the genre.
Like, they were like, oh, I want to talk about this book. Let's do, like, four books that feature this, but I actually only have one. So I'm just going to talk about these three as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've noticed, if you've been, like, been aware of all this, but there's a TikToker, or, well, a booktoker who had quite a big following, Kelly, and it's all come out that she literally didn't even read the book she was reviewing. She just read the synopsis and then repeated
that.
Doesn't
shock me at all.
So,
especially the rate at which some people can review. I'm like, there's no way you're reading all of these, even if you're a fast reader.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a job? Like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, the cover for Anarchist Underground, because that's another thing we do for indie ones, we talk about the cover. At first look, I thought it was a anchor, but it's not. It's a sword with a feather and fire in front of it.
Ooh.
Which is even better than the anchor, like, I thought it was.
Like a castle in the background or something?
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, it's literally like it's on fire, you know.
Yeah,
Anarchist,
that's good.
I like it.
Yeah.
Really good cover, yeah. Okay, so next on my list is Mysteries of the Southern Gothic by Jessica Carasquillo. So this actually comes out today on the day that we're recording. I'm on the book tour for this, so I need to read it by, I think my thing is the 10th of October or something. This is the second book in a series, but they can be read as standalone, so I've not read the first book. This says, beneath the haunting shadows of the South, a tale of loss and betrayal unfolds. Oh, Ulysses Casares, a troubled and mental health counsellor, grapples with the unexplained disappearance of his sister, Calliope?
Calliope.
Maybe Calliope? These are like Calliope, yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is like a retelling of something that I don't know.
Calliope is... it's a Greek or Roman god.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
And that is a...
Ulysses.
Ulysses, that's it. He's a...
That's Greek then.
Greek, yeah.
Right, yeah.
His path crosses with Rosario. Isn't that from Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, I honestly can't remember.
Martinez, a daring young woman and co-host of the popular Mysteries of the Southern Gothic True Crime podcast.
Ooh.
I'm
surprised that's not a real thing.
Yeah, actually. So this is a romantic thriller. Hang on.
We were just saying you can't have a romantic thriller. Is this indie about to prove me wrong?
The buzzwords, which is why I joined up to the tour, was true crime podcast, romantic thriller, atmospheric suspense. I was like, sold, done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I need to hear. And the cover is really, really good, I think. So it's got, it's like grayscale, a statuette of a woman's figure without the head and arms, but it's got wings on it, like angel wings. And then it's got bright pink or bright fuchsia roses around the bottom of it and a fuchsia band with the author's name. And I just think it looks really good.
Kind of reminds me of the angels from Doctor Who.
Yeah. So look at this cover. It looks really good.
Beautiful.
And I said this was part of a series. The first cover is really good as well. It's like got a skull amongst some foliage.
These covers must be costing these guys a fortune.
Yeah, possibly. The first one is called The Mancinelle. But as I said, these are standalones just set in the same universe. Can't remember what the universe is called. It's called the Mancinelle series. Yeah, so this one I will be reading soon. So I don't know. Follow me on Instagram and see my review
It will end up in one of our reading updates, potentially.
Possibly, yeah, because we're limiting that to just really standout ones.
Books, yeah.
Because I'm reading a bit too much at the
moment. Yeah, she became a problem. Some months I'm a problem, some months I'm not.
Mm.
But you're always a problem right now.
Oh, I looked last night at how many books. I wanted to see, was it last night or a couple of nights ago? I wanted to see how I was doing on my reading goal, which is to read 50,000 pages this year.
I saw.
I have surpassed it. I'm on 58,000 pages. I've read 192 books and I'm not doing okay, guys. Right, so next on my list. Next year I'm going to do a separate pages one. I'm going to drop that right down.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a separate hours one, because a lot of what I consume is audiobooks now. So I'd quite like to see how many hours I consume of audiobooks.
Oh my God, yeah, I bet mine's quite high too.
Because at the minute I have Storygraph set up. This isn't an ad for Storygraph, but you should.
We love Storygraph though.
At the minute I have Storygraph set up to count to translate every book I read into pages for my pages goal. So next year I will have it. I will leave the audiobooks as hours and the pages as pages.
I'm still finding the hours thing not super accurate, even when I'm converting them to hours. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Interesting.
I mean, I haven't gone back through, because you can't convert old ones to hours once you've done it wrong. But I'm trying to do new audiobooks converted.
Wait, what do you mean converting them?
So I do it as an audiobook. I log it in minutes.
Yeah.
But then when you go into, like, the journal bit, the journal entries bit, when it's, like, you did 10% this date, 25% of the audiobook this date, blah, blah, blah. At the bottom of that, it says convert to minutes. So I've been clicking that because I thought I had to.
Oh, okay. Oh, show me after this episode.
I don't know. I just don't think it's been super accurate.
Maybe not.
But I think it's a user error. I don't think it's something with Storygraph.
Next on my list is an author who I love and I will always shout about her from the rooftops. This is Stephanie Rose.
Oh, yeah.
I've read a few of her series and I've discussed them a lot. So she's got a new series come out and it is a historical fantasy series. The first book has come out and it's called The Golden Flower. So this follows Marguerite, who is the ward of King Edward of a peaceful kingdom on the eastern border with France. After being found in a carriage wreck as a baby, she is beloved by the royal family, but many courtiers dislike her, distrusting of her unknown heritage. They disagree with her coveted title of Duchess of Torini. Why was a girl with no proven noble blood gifted such high honours? With time, she becomes closer to Edward's son, Crown Prince Antoine. Oh, God, I can't do this. When she develops feelings for him, tensions rise at court, as does the jealousy, especially from his mother, Queen Clementine. Many envision them becoming betrothed, but others scheme to prevent that. So this is the first in the series called The Golden Book. It's been compared to, the romance aspects have been compared to Bridgerton, and the political intrigue is compared to Game of Thrones.
So ooh.
It's ticking a lot of buzzwords. I really want to read this. I think everything that I'm going to discuss today, I want to read.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll have read by the end of the year at the rate I'm reading.
It's almost like a TBR list, really.
Yeah, basically.
Did you do the cover?
No, I'm just about to. Cover. No, it's fine. A cover has like a mirror kind of silhouette with florals on it, and then in the middle it's got the silhouette of presumably Marguerite, and then it just says Golden Flower.
Oh, that's quite a nice simple one. Yeah, but it's really pretty.
Like, Stephanie shared a few different cover options and yeah, people voted, and this was
it's
one
kind of
the
reminds me
it.
Of like Snow White, Mirror Mirror on the Wall kind of vibes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what it reminds me
it's
of.
It's very like, and the title is Yellow Glowed. It's just really pretty. Stephanie also has a load of stories on her Wattpad if you want to read any other. She's got like horror, she's got contemporary, she's got erotica, she's got billionaire romance. Yeah, she's just, I don't know how
Jack of all trades.
Someone can write in so many different genres, yeah, but there we go.
I'm not jealous at all, Stephanie.
I literally cannot write in any genre. Right, we have Wings of Destiny.
Oh, I already feel this is a me.
The first in the Erin Snow series, so it's going to be a series. By Vampire, which I always read as Vampire, so I like that. I look at the book and I'm like, by Vampire, nice. So this is a romantasy. Just to add it onto your little buzzwords even more.
Yeah.
Is this one out? This one does have a publication date. So this comes out on the 1st of October. So the time has come and there's nowhere to hide. Erin Snow, your average 23-year-old book-obsessed college student, has her world turned upside down when people begin disappearing. Nightmares begin to stalk her day and night, replaying bits of her past, bringing forward things that might have been better left unknown. Will she discover the truth about what is happening to her, and who can she trust, and who is secretly plotting her downfall? Mm. Oh, and then the little tagline is, embrace your wings, beware your heart. Oh. And the cover is very romantic-y. It's got the sword, like, sticking down. It's got the flilly-lilly-lilly text. And it's got, like, red swirls. Ooh, look it up. It's really good. I don't know how to describe it, except it's very romantic-y.
It's definitely one I would pick up, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, look at the author name at the top. I always read it as Vampire. Clever,
yeah. Oh, but she must have done that on purpose.
I hope that they've written... Oh my God, yeah. I was like, I hope they write some vampire books. But I went on what else they've written, and they've written a smutty vampire romance. That one's just like a short story. So this must be the debut novel of this author. So that's even more exciting. Next is another one that I'm on a book tour for. So... check out my Instagram some point in October for my reviews on it.
Our socials are linked in the descriptions wherever you're listening, always.
Yeah, and it's called The Tournament of Heirs by Emilia Perez, and it's the first in the Mexica Chronicles. And this is a historical fantasy with a touch of romance, I believe. Mm. So, bloodshed is coming. Acalan and Metzli Amos have been preparing for the Tournament of Heirs their entire lives. Ignoring their duty has never been an option. They must do whatever it takes to win or leave their empire heirless. It's simple. 6 houses, 12 heirs. Only 2 blood-bound tributes can win and bring home victory. Sacrifices must be made.
So is it like Magic Hunger Games?
I think so,
yeah.
And the cover has the silhouette of a woman that looks very warrior-esque, and she's got like kind of magic Ooh. Circle behind her. It looks really good. Just go look at it. Oh, I'm getting terrible at describing
this. Like a bit kind of tribal looking, the woman. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, so
definitely. Also,
yeah.
Also one for me.
It's annoying that it's a beginning of a series as well, hey?
They're always beginning of a series because indie authors can't write just one book. No. Can they? Ever.
That'd be far too helpful. Okay, so this next book, that's weird. It's not bringing it up. Oh, yeah, okay. So this next book is actually the 5th in the series.
Oh,
it's
okay.
called Toward Dawning Light by H.E. Baumann. So I will just read the first book synopsis because I saw this 5th book and I was like, okay, I might read the whole series.
Oh, no. How long is each book?
Like roughly 500 pages.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we'll see when I get around to it.
Yeah.
First book is called Under Darkened Skies. The series is called Darkened Skies. I don't know if I mentioned that. And it says, a librarian with a secret, that was where it got me.
Yep.
A prince looking for redemption, a dark discovery that will force them to confront their truths. Astria Sovna is destined to die. As a lightbringer, she is expected to serve the Helesian government as a battlefield healer. But when the court seer, Astria's uncle, has a vision of her being killed in the line of duty, he forbids her to reveal her powers. Until now, Astria has gone unnoticed as a junior librarian, but when she gets reassigned to a diplomatic project to strengthen ties between Helicia and one of its neighbours, she finds herself saddled with her past, in the form of returned war hero, and her ex-best friend, Prince Varolin Auris. Forced to work together, Astria soon learns that although Varalwyn has been out of her life for years, he's still the kind, patient friend she remembers. As they navigate old friendships and imperial politics, the pair discovers that the mysterious shadows stalking the city are leaving a trail of murder victims in their wake. And when Astria becomes a target, a dear friend gets caught in the crossfire.
Interesting.
And the covers look so good. They're all, I can't really explain them. They're like
kind of dystopian-esque landscapes, a couple of them. One of them's like a book against a rainy landscape.
So this was the cover of the one that caught my attention, the release one. It's got like a sword on fire or something.
Yeah, sort of there's something always in the foreground and then like dystopian landscape behind them kind of thing. And nice swirly fantasy writing.
Yeah.
Scientific terms.
Exactly.
Basically, you're supposed to follow along and Google these as we go.
Yeah.
Or look them up on Amazon or Storygraph.
Type in swirly fantasy writing.
Do your research. This podcast comes with homework.
Yeah. So that is six that I would like to read.
Oh my God, that was very quick.
I know, yeah. It'd be great if I could read these before the end of the year, but we shall see because, you know, life.
I think you could do it. It's whether the brain goblins will let you do
it. Yeah, and because I am mostly consuming audio and indie books don't tend to come with an audio. If they do, it'll be one you have to use a credit for, which I rarely have credits.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if I do read them, that I, and I'm going to talk about them, I look up how to pronounce the things, so...
Well, we're doing a maths list, guys.
If you're the
it's
author
not...
and you're screaming at me, if I read your book, I will look up how to pronounce the word. I'm hoping if it's a fancy book, you've got a glossary or a pronunciation guide. I must admit, when I open a book and there's like five pages of glossary terms, I'm like, yeah.
Glossary, map.
Yeah.
Done.
So I've just started Immortal Dark by Tigris I can't pronounce my R's. Gamer, but you roll the R, but I can't roll. Gamer? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I can't roll my R's. So I listened to her say it so many times and I tried to replicate it, but my tongue does not roll R's.
It's supposed to be a thing that you can either do it or you can't. Because it's not part of our language naturally.
Our tongue, like our muscles never learn how to say it.
Yes, but some people can still. But if you can't do it, like it's hard to teach it.
And at the beginning, oh my God, there was like a huge map. There was like all of these terms laid out. Yeah. There was like houses listed. I was in my absolute element.
Especially when they've got like a map of like, oh, like the city and then where that fits in the country. Yeah. And then also like the house it's based in. I'm like, yes, thorough. Yeah. Thank you.
This was like a map of like the boarding school grounds. I love that. I love when I'm reading a book and I'm like, blah, blah, went to library and I flicked back and I'm like, there's the library.
I did see a TikTok where someone was like, every time I start a new fantasy book and then it's that sound, you went where? With who? And it's her flipping back to the glossary at the start.
I know, the amount of times I'm like, I want this to be something fold out or I want to be able to remove it and sit it next to me whilst I'm reading.
Basically, one of the features of children's books to come into adult books, please.
So,
pop out.
Like, one of my favourite all-time series, which I don't think I've discussed for a while, so we're going to do it, The Edge Chronicles.
It's been at least two episodes.
it's a middle-grade series, if you're new here. Anyway, I bought, they did, like, a separate maps thing.
Yeah.
And the landscape of the world changes over the course of the various trilogies. And so there was a few maps, and it all folds out, and oh, I must admit, I squealed. I squeed.
That Luminaries that I just read, where it's got the diagrams of the
where they're all
of
laid
the different
out.
Nightmares. Yes. I was like, I like that. Yeah. Like, it really helped visually.
You know those nightmares diagrams?
Yeah.
It's only in the UK publications.
Is it? I wonder why.
Just because it was something that the UK publisher had made.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was like, because it's cheaper to print here or something, but no.
No, it was just a choice the UK publisher made.
Good choice.
Because I'm involved in a reread, actually, that the author's running. So I'm in the author's Discord group, and another UK person said how much they love those images, and someone was like, what images? And the author said, no, they're only in the UK ones. So someone shared the images for the American readers.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. But because the first The first time I read the book, it was the Illumicrate version, so I thought it was just specifically for Illumicrate. But no, it's in...
So it's just in the normal paperback,
yeah. Because I've got the normal paperback to highlight.
Yeah.
And annotate, because... of course. And I saw they were in there, and I was like, impressed. Yeah. So when my partner was listening to the audio, I was like, do you want to see the nightmares? I'll show you them. Yeah.
Just fully embrace the obsession with me, please.
Yeah, he got really into them. It's not an indie book, so we... So that's what's upcoming in terms of some indie books. I read a book called Torn Pages, which was a debut, and it was about a vampire and a human who start, they like do a, what's the word for it, when they date out of convenience, like,
it's not marriage of convenience.
No.
It's relationship of convenience.
Yeah, I guess so. And then they start actually liking each other, obviously.
Obviously.
So that was one I recently read. Let me just double check the author. It was very debut-y, but not in a bad way. Mm. It was just, it was, if you go back and listen to our episode when we talk about
My Devil, our body read. Boss is the Devil, yeah.
Yeah. And we just discussed like how sort of early authors tend to do dialogue a little bit stilted. This does have that, but it's a really, really fun book. Ashley Chapman it's by. So I do recommend that. That was fun. And I also finally read an Angela J. Ford book, which I have mentioned tons of her books over the course of this podcast. I finally read the first one in her Tower Night series. It was called Music of the Night, and it's a Phantom of the Opera retelling.
Oh my god, I need to read that.
It was really good. It was really enjoyable. And I also read Veiled Kingdom by Holly Renee, which I know is doing the rounds at the minute. That wasn't quite for me, unfortunately.
Is that the one with the like the green snake on it?
No, I'll show you the pink. That's her other series.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking of that author though, aren't I?
Yeah, that's the Veiled Kingdom
series. Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm going to try that other series that she's got. It's, what's it called? King's Stars and Shadows series.
Mm.
And that's, so the Veiled Kingdom series is very pink covers, and then the other one is very green covers. Okay. Yeah. And unfortunately I liked the writing. I was intrigued by the political plot, the,
yeah, those ones, yeah.
The romance was gross for me, so that kind of let it down. I think you probably remember me having a rant about that.
I feel like
it was a very coercive it was just not for me. And I also read the first book in the Blood Grace series by Vela Roth. So the first book's called Blood Mercy, and it's about a vampire and vampire and a human. It's very long series. Each book is like 600 pages.
I've seen quite a few things like Vela Roth, how you say it, of their books around.
They're very slow paced. There's a lot of like slice of life stuff in it.
Okay.
It's not for everyone, especially considering how long the books are. But
okay.
So like this book in particular, I would say it's about the 70 or 80% mark that I got really into it.
Okay.
Which sounds like, hey, like that's so much in a book, but actually this is part one of the book, so I was almost at 50% of the actual total. So I don't know, it was quite good.
Just a lot of world building then.
Characters are very likable though. And I also read, it's, I think this started off as an indie series and it's not anymore, but I read Guild, which is the first book in the Plated Prisoner series.
Oh, I've really been meaning to get to that.
Yeah, I was asking people who have read this series, so maybe anyone listening who's read the series, let me know, because I've been putting off reading the rest of the series because it's very adult topics, but written in a YA way, and I found it really off-putting. Just let me know if the whole series is like that. If I'm aware of it, I can go into it with appropriate expectations.
Okay.
But for the first book, because I knew it was about, like, it's got loads of rape scenes, it's about forced prostitution, It's about concubines. So I knew it was going to be rough, but because it was written like a teenager, it didn't work for me.
Oh, okay.
But if I know the rest of the series is like that, at least I can go into it aware of that. But I found it really off-putting because I wasn't expecting it.
Do you reckon that was a deliberate choice, like to make it seem more icky? Because of the topic?
I don't think so. Oh,
okay.
No, I don't think so.
So I said that was done sort of deliberately as a style choice to like make you feel like this is happening to a teenager. These horrible things.
Yeah, I mean, the main character isn't a teenager.
Oh.
She's just written like a teenager.
Oh, okay.
And the narrator had a teenager's voice as well, which didn't help.
Okay, interesting.
Because I listened to it as an audio. And the narrator sounded like they were, like, putting on a 18-year-old's voice or something. I don't know. Okay, the whole thing didn't jive for me personally. I just want to know if the whole series is like that.
Again, I think that's one that I would either do as audio or maybe vinted, like secondhand, get it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not decided whether to invest in it.
I don't know if it's available on KU.
I don't think it is.
No, I feel like it used to be, but that is why I've got in my head it was indie published to begin with. But yeah, so that's our little, some indie books coming up, a few I've read recently that I recommend. If you have any indie books, obviously let us know, like we already
mentioned.
Please like, share, follow, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Help us reach other people in the algorithm. We'd really appreciate that. You could set up auto download as well.
Yes, you don't have to think about it. And then it sends you a little notification saying, new episode's here.
Yeah, you can listen to it offline, sorted. and we will see you next week for a quarterly update.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. See you then. Bye.